Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew chapter 4. Let's read from verse 18 to the end of the chapter. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw other two brethren, James the son of Zebedee, and John his brother, in a ship with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father, and followed him. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and from Judea and from beyond Jordan. Now, in studying these verses, I've seen three things that I want to point out to us. And all three of these things are so important. I have begged the Lord to allow this to be clear. I want this to be clear. But this is so, so important for us to understand. In this, we can see a particular salvation. In this, we can see a mighty call to salvation. And in this, we see a means of salvation. And I want us to look at one of them for this Bible study, which is the means. We're going to look at the means of salvation. And then, the Lord willing, we're going to look at the other two in the message. We're going to see right now His means, and then we're going to see His work and His power in His means. Now, for this Bible study, I would legitimately like for us to ask this question. Why do we preach the gospel? That's the title of this Bible study. Why do we preach the gospel? Why do we preach the gospel? Now, if God is sovereign, and He is, and let's see if we can really get a hold of this. If God is sovereign, and He is, and if He is going to save His people, and He is, and if none of them are going to be lost, and they're not, why do we preach the gospel? Why do we do this? Why do we do this? Why do we put so much importance on preaching the gospel? Do you know that God's people put all importance on preaching and hearing and gathering around the gospel? I mean, life importance, the centerpiece of life. Why do we do that? Why do we do that? Why are we so dogmatic on the truth of the gospel? Why don't we just blend with anything that's close? Why are we so dogmatic? Why is it so critical to us that we be under the absolute truth of the gospel and our children be under the absolute truth of the gospel? Why is that? Why is it so life and death to us? If God is sovereign, and if He's going to save His people without me, He doesn't need me. And if none of them are going to be lost, why is that? Why do we do that? Here's the reason why. It's because we're going to see right here that it's our Lord's means. It's our Lord's means. It's His means in salvation. The means that He has chosen to use to call His elect to Himself. Not only can we see His means in what He said to the disciples, but we can also see it in what He Himself did throughout His ministry. Verse 23 says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the kingdom of the gospel. That's what He did. Why did He do that? Why did He do that? We're talking about the God who spoke everything into existence. That centurion said, my servant is home sick. And the Lord said, I'll come to your house. He said, just speak the word only. You just say the word. Just think the thought and it's done. This is God manifest in the flesh. Why did God Almighty go about all Galilee? Why would He spend His precious time here going about teaching in the synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom? Why would God Almighty do that? It's because that's His chosen means. That's His means. Look at what He said to His disciples. Verse 18. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And He said unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Isn't that an interesting statement? Why would He use that terminology? I'll make you fishers of men. Here's the reason why. It's His means. It's His chosen means. Now, before we go any further, let's make sure we know what the word means means. All right. What does means mean? It's a word that's used all through the scripture. It's used all the time. It means the way. It means how something is going to happen. I'll show you an example of it. Turn over to Luke chapter 5. Luke 5, verse 18, our Lord is preaching in a house, and this house is jammed full of people. It's just packed with people. Luke 5, verse 18, and behold, men brought in a bed a man which was taken with a palsy, and they sought means. They were trying to figure out the way. They were looking at this thing, trying to figure out how are we going to get him inside this house. They sought means to bring him in and to lay him before the Lord. And when they could not find by what way, by what means, they might bring him in because of the multitude, they went upon the housetop and let him down through the tiling with his couch into the midst before the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the means that they ended up using. That's how they got him in that house. That was the way. So that's what the word means. It means the way. It means how something's going to happen. We use means all the time. All the time. in many cases, we can select the means that we want to use. After this service is over, this Bible study, the message, if the Lord is willing, I'm going to go home. If the Lord is willing, I'm going to go home. I'm going to use means to make that happen. I could walk. I could walk. That's not the way I choose. Probably ought to be the way I choose, but it's 3.7 miles to my house. I could walk. Or there is a city bus stop, the transit stop right here on the corner. It'll get me pretty close. I could take the bus. Or I could make preparations to have a bicycle here. I could ride a bike home. The fact of the matter is, though, I have not chosen to use those means. The means that I have chosen to use is our car. That's how I'm going to make that happen. That's the way that I'm going to make that happen. Now, it doesn't have to be those means. I just stated other options. I'm not limited to those means. But that's the means I've chosen to use. It has pleased me to use the means of our car. That's what I want to do. Now, that's how it is with God. That's how it is with God. God can do anything He wants to do. Whenever these means go out, some people really reject this and you're saying God can't. No. God can do anything God wants to do. We're talking about God. God can do anything. He's not limited to anything, but He said, I'll make the declaration. I want to use that car. That's my means. And He said that it pleased Him to use a particular means in bringing His people to this salvation that He secured for them in His own blood, calling them and notifying them of that. And the means that He's chosen is the preaching of the truth of His Word. And I want to emphasize the word truth. I want to really emphasize the word truth. It has pleased Him to use the means of preaching the truth of His Word. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians 1, verse 17. The Apostle Paul said, "For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel." People always want to know, how many people have you baptized? They asked Paul that. He said, "I don't know." He said, "I did baptize a couple, but after that, I don't know." He said, "Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it's the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God." It has pleased the Lord to use the means of preaching the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, telling people what Christ accomplished on the cross. The gospel of this word, it has pleased him to use that to save. That means to quicken, to call his people to himself. You know, somebody will say, well, I thought this was just a notification. I thought it was all done. You say it pleased the Lord by the foolishness of preaching to save his people. I thought it was all done. It is. It is just a notification, and it has been done. God's people were saved in the mind and the will and the purpose of God before the foundation of the world. In his will and purpose, it was done. And God's people were saved in time. The moment that Christ cried, "It is finished," and bowed his head and gave up the ghost on the cross 2,000 years ago. It was finished. And God's people are saved from their darkness. We start out in utter darkness. We start out in the deadness of sin. We're saved from that darkness and that deadness when God's Spirit notifies us of everything that was in the will and purpose of the Father and everything that was accomplished on the cross. We're saved from all that through the preaching of the gospel. And God's people will one day very soon be saved from this sinful world. Everything that we saved. And with each of those components of our salvation, the Lord has used, he is using, and he will use his chosen means. And in the conversion of his people, that's what we're talking about this morning. He's chosen to use the means of preaching the truth. Turn with me over to Romans 10. Romans 10, verse 13, it says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." That will be the evidence that Christ has saved them. Men and women won't call. Men and women by nature don't call. If a person calls on the name of the Lord, that means if a person believes on Christ and casts their all on Christ and rejects all their works, and then that's the evidence that they have been saved. Christ has saved them. Verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?" How is a man going to preach except he be sent? Will just any old preacher do? No. No. He's going to be a man sent on purpose by God's Holy Spirit with the truth of the word. I would never send, if I wanted to get a message to somebody that I loved, I would never send a liar with a message of lies. If I wanted to tell somebody something that I loved, I would never send somebody to say the exact opposite of what I wanted them to know. I wouldn't do that. And God does not do that either. He doesn't do that either. He puts his message of truth in a messenger of truth, and he sends that message on purpose to the one it's meant for. And with that message, he sends faith to believe the message. He sends the message and faith to believe the message. That's the means that God's chosen in quickening his people to life. Verse 13, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's the reason why we preach the message of the gospel. It's the means God has chosen to use to call his people to the light and the life and the knowledge of their salvation, what he's done for them. And we don't get any credit for it. We just don't. We don't take any glory in the means, just like my car. You know, I've chosen to use the means of my car to get home. But I'm going to be the one driving that car. I am. I'm going to be the one who steers that car and directs that car. I'm going to be the one who starts the car. I'm going to be the one who stops the car. If the car actually makes it to my house, it's only going to be because I made the car go to my house. Yes, I'm going to use that means. I'm going to use that vessel, but I'm controlling that. I'm doing that. It's something I will do. Car is not just going to go there on its own. I'm going to do it. And that's how it is with the means of preaching the gospel. That's how it is with the means. God will use the means according to his will and his desire to accomplish his purpose. He will steer. He will direct. He will start. He will stop. God is doing this. God is doing this. We preachers don't get any credit. The only thing that I can do in my flesh is ruin it. That's all I can do. The only thing that I can do is hinder you and be a stumbling block to you. God has to overrule. He has to overrule, and he will. Our Lord Jesus Christ is the one who does it all. He said to those disciples, I will make you to be fishers of men. I'll make you to be that. So that's why we preach the gospel. Now, as fishers, all right, I'm almost finished here. But as fishers, let me just say a word on how to preach the gospel. All right, we just said, why do we preach the gospel? Because that's God's chosen means. It's his command to us. How do we preach the gospel? How do we preach it? Turn back over to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'll be very quick. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 23 says, but we preach Christ. How do we preach the gospel? How do we, as our Lord put it, as he said it, fish for men? What is the gospel net? Those men were washing their nets. They did not fish with a rod and reel. They did not fish with a hook and a lure. They fished with a net. That means they engulfed. They captured. That's how they fished. They just captured. What is the message that engulfs and captures God's people? Verse 23 says, we preach Christ crucified. I was talking to somebody the other day about the difference in a preacher of religion, false religion, and a preacher of truth. And he had just heard a false message, and he said, what struck me is everything about a false message is iffy. It's just all iffy. You know, it's just, well, I mean, it just depends, like, if you, if the cooperate, if everything's just And with the gospel, everything is certain. It's certain. It's not really fishing. When that gospel net goes out, every appointed fish is going into that net. You remember when the Lord, after he arose and the disciples said, "I'm going back to fishing." And he said, "Have you caught anything?" "No, hadn't caught anything." "Go on the right side of the boat." And they almost sank the boat. There was an exact number of fishes in that net. It's recorded. The gospel is certain. The gospel is powerful. And we, simple fish, are just minding our own business, swimming along. And then all of a sudden, what has happened to me? God has. God has. He has engulfed. He has taken what is His. And the message of the gospel that is that net and accomplishes that is Jesus Christ crucified. Who He is and what He has done and how absolute it is and how certain it is and what that means for us. It's the person and the work and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. In John chapter 10, this is going to be a verse that will bridge this Bible study to the message. In John chapter 10, our Lord said, "My sheep hear my voice." And I'm going to emphasize this right now for the next message. He said, my sheep hear my voice. And he said, "I know them and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life. They hear my voice and they follow me." The gospel message is Christ Himself. And I'm not going to have you turn, but 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul said, "I declare unto you the gospel." Here it is. How that Christ died according to the Scriptures. Exactly like all the Scriptures said He would, to put away the sin of His people. And how Christ was buried according to the Scriptures. And how He rose again according to the Scriptures. Paul said, that's the gospel. He is the gospel. We preach Him. We don't preach us. Let's notice that. Let's notice that. We don't preach us. When you hear a man preaching us, you know, someone was here one time and just blessed my heart so much. Somebody else was asking him, "What do y'all preach down there? Y'all preach this and y'all preach that." And this person said, "Well, no, it's pretty much just Christ. It's what I've seen. It's pretty much just Christ." Whenever a man stands up and preaches us, and you'll hear it, you, us, we, that's not the gospel. The gospel's Him and Him alone. We preach Him, who He is and what He's done for His people. And the Apostle Paul said in Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I'll just tell you this too. We won't turn to this either. I was going to have you turn to Acts chapter 8. This is the example. The Ethiopian eunuch was returning from Jerusalem and the Lord sent Philip to go preach to him. And Philip found this man sitting in his chariot reading Isaiah 53. And Philip said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And the man said, "How can I, except some man should guide me? How can I understand what this is saying unless a man preaches to me?" And beginning at the same scripture, Philip preached the Lord Jesus Christ to him. "As a lamb before his shearers, he opened not his mouth, wounded for our transgressions." And as soon as that eunuch heard that, he said, "There's some water. Does anything hinder me from confessing this?" Philip said, "Do you believe this with all your heart?" He said, "I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Philip said, "Let's go." He went down and baptized him. That is the means being accompanied with the work and the power of God. And if the Lord is willing, we'll take a look at that in just a minute. All right, you're dismissed.